Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue with the study we began last time entitled The Issue of Authority. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to open up your very words as found in the good old King James Bible. Father, it's my prayer that you would bless and encourage, lift up the saint of God listening today. Strengthen them for the spiritual battle ahead. Help them to take from this lesson something that they can use to defend the faith, to contend for the faith. And Father, lest we forget, we pray for the lost soul that's listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone as their personal Savior. We pray today for that lost sinner, that this would be the very day that they would call upon the name of the Lord from a heart of faith, believing that Christ died, He died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and that they're trusting in, that they'll trust in only His shed blood and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. And with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We began last time to do a study on the issue of authority. We started to look at candidates for final authority. And we began by saying, what is the believer's final authority in spiritual matters? And we're looking at and seeing that there are only four candidates that could possibly claim this honor. Last time, number one, we looked at a church. Number two, we looked at self. And then we began, number three, to look at the third candidate for a final authority, and that's God's continuing revelations. So we see the third candidate for a final authority encompasses the continuing revelations of God. In other words, new scripture that is being given today in the form of prophecies, dreams, visions, supposed words of knowledge and wisdom, experiences of the Holy Ghost. The occult and most cults, most false religions, and unfortunately, the charismatic movement accept the premise that God, or their God, is not finished speaking in this age and continues to speak through these various means today. Now, once one goes beyond the objective, which is the written word of God, the ability to definitively determine truth ends. When one accepts that God is continually adding to His written word, a dilemma of mass proportion rears its ugly head. How do we know what is from God and not from God? Do we accept it all? Only portions? Which portions? God's supposed new revelations make for a very poor authority, let alone a final authority, because they raise questions rather than settle questions. Inevitably, another authority must be pulled into the equation to settle which revelations are from God and which are not. thus nullifying God's continuing revelations as any type of truly final authority. In a minority of cases, such as visions, experiences, are compared with the written word of God, with most of them being rejected because they do not match Scripture. In the majority of cases, the final authority of self is called upon to determine what is or is not from God. What do you think? Or how do you feel about this becomes the standard by which truth is determined. Now, when Paul was preaching his new gospel of salvation through repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was always careful to make sure his hearers knew that it conformed to what God had already revealed in his word. Listen to Paul for a moment. Let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 3 and 4 together. We read the following. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. See? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See? Paul said he had received this from Christ, from the Lord, and that it was according to Scriptures. It wasn't according to something else or his opinion or someone else's opinion, but according to the Word of God. Paul likewise warned his hearers to be careful of any new revelations. He was extremely stern on this point, as any failure to compare new truth with the Word of God would virtually guarantee a trip into false doctrine. Notice with me what Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We read this. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In fact, Paul said it twice. He warned them twice. That if it doesn't match up with Scripture, then we're to reject it. It's false doctrine. That individual is to be accursed. Another form that the authority of continuing revelations can take is one often promoted by the super pious or super spiritual Christian who claims that God himself is their final authority. When they want to know the truth or a thing, they simply ask God or pray about it. And the Spirit tells them, thus and so. This sounds all well and good, except that we are dependent upon another fallible human to tell us what they think God has told them. What if he tells two different Christians two different things? What if the thing that God tells them contradicts Scripture? What if the thing that God tells them contradicts what you think he has told you? Notice what Jeremiah says about the heart of man. In Jeremiah 17, verse 19, we read the following. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 8, wrote this. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Trusting in what a man thinks, God is saying, even if that man is you, is far less reliable than going to the Word of God and finding out what God actually said. Because of pride, man is too prone to error and too likely to think he is right even when he is wrong. The final authority of God's continued revelations quickly devolves into the final authority of self as man ultimately decides what God has or has not said. Let's look at the last candidate for a final authority. And that last candidate would be God's completed revelation. God's completed revelation. The last candidate for a final authority, it's God's completed revelation. In other words, the written words of God. Remember what Jesus said in the book of Mark? In Mark 13, verse 34, we read this. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. You see, this authority given by Christ to his servants was certainly not themselves. They already had themselves a poor final authority since Adam. And this authority was newly given by Christ. This authority was not any church, group, or organization composed of fallible men. Religious groups had existed for centuries, and all were poor authorities. The churches founded by Christ and the apostles quickly became susceptible to false doctrine, for example, Corinth and Galatia, and demonstrated no ability to speak with an infallible authority on any subject. Neither was this authority a promise of new direct revelations through visions, dreams, and experiences. Although the apostles and prophets of the early church received new revelations from Christ, these things were quickly written down as inspired scripture and compiled into a book as the offices of apostles and prophet drew to a close in the early church. This authority given by Christ to his servants is found in the written and completed Word of God, the final absolute standard by which all men, churches, dreams, visions, and prophecies are to be measured. Being the supernaturally inspired and preserved Word of God, It is beyond error and written so that everyone can read and apply this authority. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, and he said this, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." In Titus chapter 2, verse 15, Paul wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." The whole concept of arriving at a judgment about spiritual things, speaking truth, exhorting and rebuking, is absolutely meaningless and nonsensical unless there exists an inerrant authority that makes such exercises possible. How can one judge all things without a standard by which to measure all things? And how can one speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority without any final authority? Now let's turn our attention in our study. Our next section we're going to look at is entitled Charismaticism and Continuing Revelation. Charismaticism and Continuing Revelation. The ultimate issue with which the charismatic movement must come to grips is the issue of final authority. As things stand, virtually all within this movement fail to accept the written Word of God as their final authority. And of course, when I say the written Word of God, as found today in the Authorized Version 1611, that should be our final authority, my friend. Now, the obvious proof of this fact can be seen in many unscriptural doctrines and practices found within the charismatic movement today. Many of these we have outlined in this study by simply comparing charismatic belief and practice to the Word of God. The issue is not one of differences in interpretation or opinion, but a matter of authority. Do we believe and submit to Scripture as our final authority, or follow our experiences and feelings, and ultimately self, as our final authority? First of all, we want to see that charismaticism fails to recognize the completeness of God's written word. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. We read this, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." So we're told here in Deuteronomy not to add or take away. from God's completed written word. Again, in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, we read the following. Notice the first word in verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So we're told here in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, that every word of God is pure, and that we're not to add to His completed written word. Then finally, in Revelation chapter 22, in verses 18 through 19, we read the following. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So here we have a warning to those who will add or take away from the completed written word of God. A warning that there will be some type of punishment, consequences for doing that. Amen. Next, we want to see that charismaticism fails to recognize the permanence of God's written word. Let's look at some verses of Scripture that talk about, that teach, that show clearly the permanence of God's written word. First, we turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, first in verse 89, we read this. Forever. We all know what the definition of forever is, I hope. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119 again, verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Psalm 119 again, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Forever. See that word forever again. Then in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, we read this. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand. How long? Forever. And then in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 35, we read this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, we read the following. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. Here's that word again, forever. Aren't you glad if you're born again that you're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, that is permanent, will never change? These are just some of the verses that teach clearly, that show clearly, that say clearly that the word of God, the written word of God, is permanent. And that's one of the things. Another thing that the charismatic movement fails to recognize is the permanence of God's written word. Now, we want to turn our attention and look at the examples of modern prophecies. And first of all, as we look at that example, the example of modern prophecies, we want to see that the true prophet of God had to have a 100% accuracy rate. Look in Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy 18 with me. And let's read together in Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 to 22. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, this is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Amen. Another thing, even the accurate prophet was obliged to agree with the final authority of the scripture to prove that he was truly from God. Let's turn now to Deuteronomy 13. And let's look at Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 1 and go through the beginning of verse 5. We read this. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments, obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to you, has spoken to turn you away from your God. And then also, anything less than 100% accuracy and complete agreement with Scripture was a sign of a false prophet. You see, the modern charismatic movement is rifed with so-called prophets, as well as ordinary believers delivering their supposed prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge on God's behalf. Their accuracy rate is pathetic, let alone being anything close to 100% correct. All too often, both the message and the method in which it is being delivered contradict the clear commandments of the authoritative written Word of God. Well, we've run out of time on the pastor study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you listening today, and I want to thank you. And my prayer is that you'll join me again next time and that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.